glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
It's important to understand that God wants you well in life. But under certain conditions that you won't change when you can change it, you may die young. And you may not be able to get healed. You see, even though you have people lay hands on you, even though you have all these scriptures in the Bible, you see, there must be an alignment with the Word of God in the direction of life. Unforgiveness is like no other sin. Now, you get mad and sock a guy in the jaw and say, "Oh, Father, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me." And you go apologize to the guy. It's just as though you never did it, as far as God's concerned. But unforgiveness is not that way, because the Word of God is out. If you do not forgive, neither can He forgive you your trespasses. Now, see, if you was perfect, you might get by with that. But I don't know about you, but I'm not quite there yet. Boy, I'll tell you, if you'll be quick to forgive, you'll always find out it goes easier with you. So, you see, when we say, well, it's always God's will to heal, certainly it's God's will to always heal. But under certain conditions, you see, that is when you get into the condition that the Word brings you in line with. So there are decisions that you can make that can stop the healing power from coming to you. Not that it's not God's will. Certainly it's God's will. It's God's will that, not God's will that any should perish. Isn't that right? Well, ask yourself, are there any perishing? Certainly they are. But it's not because it's not God's will, or not because it's God's will for them to perish. Now, let's talk about Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 25, right quick. We spent so much time on that, but I felt the Lord lead me in that direction, because it's important to understand the power of forgiveness to deliver. Matthew chapter 12. Now, see, we're talking about, does God send sickness? No, God does not send sickness. The Scriptures will bear that out very vividly in the New Covenant. Under the Old Covenant, there's some things that's been misunderstood and some things that we've already covered. Now, look at chapter 12, verse 25. "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city and house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" Now, somebody said, well, what does that have to do with this subject? Well, just this. If God is making people sick and healing them, his kingdom is divided against itself. God cannot make you sick so he can heal you. If he does, his kingdom is divided against itself. And Jesus himself said, it shall not stand. And we know that God's kingdom shall stand. Now, a little more down through here. He goes on to say here in verse 33... "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by his fruit." In other words, God who is good and God who is full of life, and in him is light and there is no darkness at all, cannot bring darkness out of himself and put sickness on you. But when you walk in darkness, then you open yourself to it. So now let's notice then that as we go over into the Gospel of John, go to John's Gospel, the 9th chapter. Here's a very familiar passage of Scripture, and this is where people get a lot of their ideas that God sends sickness and God does these things. But let's take a look at it. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now I've heard people read this and say, You see, Jesus said that this man was sick so that God could work the works of God in him. And so God does make some people sick so he can heal them and get glory. Now you know, if God is that schizophrenic, then we got problems. In this world, as evil as it is, if you could prove that any person in here made their child be blind so they could get them to a healing meeting and lay hands on them and get them healed, you know what would happen to them? Wicked men would put them in prison. Right. If you could prove that any man made his child have cancer, wicked men will put you in jail for that, put you in prison for life. But yet, people blame our Heavenly Father for doing that. I think we better rethink this thing. Now, listen to what he says. Listen to the question. His disciples ask him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The question is this. Was this man born blind? Was it because the man was born blind? Was it because of his parents' sin or his sin? Now see, that's foolish to us, but in that day, the Jews believed that a child could sin in his mother's womb. That's the reason they asked the question that way. Now, there's two things that he can say, or three things really. He can say, well, it was the child, or it was the man, or neither. That's the three answers that can be answered there. Now listen to what Jesus said. Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. In other words, it wasn't either one of those. Now, when you can interpret a scripture, literally do so. That's the rule of thumb of interpreting the Bible. Now, can you take this literally, what he said? Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you can't take that literally. You know the man had sinned, because all have sinned. But he said that wasn't the reason he was born blind. But that the works of God should be manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. Now, if you punctuate this just a little different. You see, in the Greek, there was no punctuation. It's been punctuated the way they thought it should go. And I think they've done a good job with what information they had. But now let's look at it this way. Jesus said neither. There was neither one of those that were right. So it wasn't the man's sin. It wasn't the child's sin that caused him to be born blind. But that the works of God should be manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. If the works of God are going to be manifest in him, I must work the works of God. Now see, people say, well, now, he was made blind so he could be healed and give God the glory. Now let me show you that that is an impossibility for that to be the true interpretation of this. I must work the works of him that sent me. Now, what did he do? He spit on the ground and took the clay and put it in the man's eye. And he said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man went and washed and came seeing. Now what did Jesus say? I must work the works of him that sent me. All right, when he worked the works of him that sent him, the man was healed. So if the blindness was the work of God, then Jesus was found destroying the works of his Father. But the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, the latter part of the verse, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That proves the blindness was the work of the devil. The ultimate cause of it was the work of the devil. It could have been injury by birth, but anyway, the devil was behind it. And he came to work the works of God. So the work of God was not the blindness. The work of God was the healing and restoration. I don't know about you, but I've talked myself happy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we need to realize that God is on our side. God is not the perpetrator of sickness and disease. He never has been. Although some things in the Old Testament, if you don't do some study into it, would lead you to think that way. But just come over into the New Testament and see the language change. The language change. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And then you have all of the healing scriptures. You have all of these things that are in the Word of God. So just know this, that God's on your side. God wants you healed. God wants you well. Say it with me. God wants me healed. Say it. God wants me healed. Praise God. I believe in healing, don't you?
Thank you for joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. Trust you've been with us all this week. We've been talking about, does God cause sickness and disease? Our tape offer this week has been tape offer number 7241, entitled, What Are Doctrines of Devils? Two audio cassettes and an album for $12 plus $4 postage and handling. The Apostle Paul said, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He named some of these things, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving to them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, not everybody is promoting doctrines of devils. It doesn't eat meat. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you what Paul said here, because in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says, Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that putteth darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, we're in a society that if you listen to radio and television a lot, you'll find out that most people don't believe the way you believe, especially if you're a Christian. They think a runaway bestseller on witchcraft is a wonderful book. It's an evil book. Shouldn't be read by children especially and anybody else, really. But people put evil for good and good for evil. And God says, Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And I'll tell you, a lot of the politicians, the very thing that they stand for the most is evil things. You know, save the whales, but kill the unborn children. Now, you know, that is diabolical. But anyway, I don't want to get on my soapbox here. But that's offer number 7241. What Are Doctrines of Devils? Two audio cassettes and an album for a total of $16. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400. 1-877-396-9400. Until Monday, this is Charles Capps reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.